The epistle appointed for the Feast of All Saints is taken from the book of the Apocalypse of St. John the Apostle, chapter 7. In those days, behold, I, John, saw another angel descending from the rising of the sun, having the sign of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we sign the servants of our God in their foreheads." And I heard the number of them that were signed, and 144,000 were signed. Of every tribe of the children of Israel, of the tribe of Judah were 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Aser, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Zabulon, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 signed. After this I saw a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and in the sight of the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, who sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood round about the throne, and the ancients, and the four living creatures. And they fell down before the throne upon their faces, and adored God, saying, "Amen, benediction, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, honor, and power, and strength to our God, forever and ever. Amen." And the gospel appointed for the Mass. Let's take it from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 5. At that time, Jesus, seeing the multitudes, went up into a mountain. And when he was sat down, his disciples came unto him. And opening his mouth, he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after justice, for they shall have their fill. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they that suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when they shall revile you and persecute you and speak all that is evil against you untruly. For my sake, be glad and rejoice, for your reward is very great in heaven." Thus far are the words of today's Holy Gospel. I saw a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and in the sight of the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. These words are taken from the Epistle of the Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These words, of course, refer to the great multitude of all those who are saved whom St. John saw in heaven. The palms that they held in their hands is a symbol of their victory. That's why often, sometimes, in the pictures or statues of the saints, we see them holding a palm. A palm is a sign of their victory. The victory over their passions, over sin and temptation, their ultimate victory by dying in the state of grace and gaining heaven. Now, I have a story for you about something that took place over 100 years ago in Cochin, China. In the village of Ranran, there lived a doctor named Emmanuel, who was a fervent Catholic. His greatest joy, though, was to convert his fellow countrymen to the faith. And while he was very zealous in healing the bodily diseases and illnesses, he was even more so in attending to the spiritual needs of the people who surrounded him, who came to him, the people who knew him. Now, it seems that God wished to make him even more persuasive and effective in the conversion of the heathens. For God showed him a vision of the great happiness in store for him as a reward for his holy life that he already lived. The account was recorded by one of the missionary priests in China at the time. It happened that the doctor fell seriously sick one day. And his illness continued. He got worse. And at last, everyone realized that he was about to die. And those who waited upon him expected every moment to see him breathe his last. The people of the town, who loved him as a father, flocked around his deathbed to pray for him. One day, as they were saying the prayers for a departing soul, he suddenly stopped breathing. They thought that he was dead. And for some time, they remained kneeling at his bedside, praying for his departed soul. And suddenly, to their great surprise, he opened his eyes. Then he began to speak. "Oh, I have seen such beautiful things," he exclaimed. "I have seen heaven." And the surprised people said to him, tell us what God has shown you." "That is impossible," he exclaimed. "No tongue could describe, nor mind even conceive, the beautiful things that I have seen." After a few moments, he continued, "I saw in heaven many whom I knew upon earth, who during life gave good example by their piety." And then, to prove that it was not just a dream, but a real vision from God, the man, this doctor, immediately got up from his bed of sickness, free from his illness, without the least trace of weakness. And from that time on, he had a great disgust for the things of this world. The most beautiful things that were shown to him had no attraction for him. He could think of only one thing, and that was the beauty of heaven. And when he was with his family, with his friends, he could speak of nothing else. He was interested in nothing else. His eyes were usually raised, and he often looked up toward heaven, where his heart already dwelt in spirit. Time seemed to him unbearable. "When shall that happy day come?" he would exclaim. "When God will place me in that glory which he has already shown me." Now, at last, that day finally did come, at long last. And Dr. Emmanuel died in a transport of heavenly joy. He had no regret in leaving this world. His only sorrow was that he had been kept here waiting so long. My friends, this incident shows us that when one knows the real value of heavenly things, then everything on this earth appears vain and empty and undesirable, in fact, worthless. My dear friends, everything we do will have eternal consequences. Consider these facts. Every one of our actions, whether good or bad, will determine the degree of our happiness or our torments for all eternity. Consider this. Eternity is a very long time. In fact, it has no end. It's hard for us to grasp that fact. And perhaps if we consider just one brief consideration that some of the saints have used, if you were to take an hourglass and turn it upright and then filter through that hourglass piece by piece of every sand that was on the whole world, if you were to collect all the oceans, the sand from all the shores, the sand from all the sand dunes that fills the Sahara deserts, miles and miles of sand dunes that are sometimes hundreds and hundreds of feet deep. If you were to filter all that sand through a tiny little hourglass and trickle it through piece by piece, grain by grain, all of the sands of the world would have finished going through that hourglass, and that would be the first moment of eternity. And then that would continue again and again. If you were to filter all those sands again through the hourglass 100 billion times, eternity will still be just beginning. So imagine what great glory that would be for those in heaven to enjoy the happiness of heaven, which is always fresh. And because eternity is one unchanging moment, that happiness of eternity never gets old. It never wears off. It's not like you get used to heaven after 100 trillion years and you want something new. There is perfect, complete contentment in heaven. For the souls in hell, one of the things that will add to their torment is to know that their torments will go on and on and on. And after 100 trillion billion years, eternity has just begun. And it will go on that way forever. It will never have an end. It's a concept which is hard to grasp. Another thought is that every one of our little actions, the most tiny act of virtue, the most tiny act of self-denial, the tiniest act of patience will increase our happiness in heaven, that happiness that we will enjoy for all eternity. And that's why some of the saints have come back from the dead and have testified that if they've come back and witnessed from heaven and have testified that if they could come back to earth to gain the merit of saying one more Hail Mary, even said with distractions, they would come back to earth and endure unbelievable agonies. Even their one particular sister who suffered 2 years of a horrible illness without painkillers, she said that she would come back to earth and suffer the entire agony of all those 2 years of suffering to gain the merit of one more Hail Mary, said imperfectly, even with distractions. So that should encourage us in our prayers if we're troubled by distractions. There's still great merit, especially because God values our good intentions and our effort when we pray. Consider another fact, that this life is very short. The joys of heaven are unimaginably delightful, while the torments of hell are unbearably horrific. So not only will they last a long time, the happiness of heaven or the pains of hell, it will be unbelievably, incredibly great in heaven and unbelievably painful in hell. How foolish then would it be to take a chance of losing the goodness of heaven and of falling into the torments of hell, especially for the tiniest little forbidden pleasure or sinful action in this world. The souls who are now in hell admit that they were the greatest fools during life. They lived for the moment, and they gave no thought of the future. And that momentary pleasure that they chose to enjoy and to commit mortal sin was gone in a second, and now they suffer the consequences for eternity, consequences which are unbelievably painful and are never ending. The saints, however, remembered that life is short, and the thought of eternity was always before them, even like this good doctor Emmanuel, this Chinese doctor. The thought of eternity caused them to repent of their sins, motivated them to avoid the occasions of sin, and to take no chance of offending God and losing their souls. It encouraged them to give glory to God by their thoughts, their words, and their actions. The saints alone were truly wise. And today, on the Feast of All Saints Day, we honor them. We honor all of those in heaven who have served God on earth and who are now enjoying his presence in his glory. We also consider the immense glory which they have attained. We also will join them if we imitate them. We will find the courage to imitate them if we think often of the joys of heaven. And so today we are encouraged to look toward heaven, to consider the glory of heaven and the victory gained by the saints. It is impossible for us now to imagine the greatness of their victory and how glad they are for all the sufferings they endured for love of God. But we can, however, understand some things about heaven. God is there, an infinitely powerful God. He is, and he is constantly occupied in delighting those who live with him and who love him. St. Bernard says, do you want to know what paradise is? Rather, he says, do you want to know what is in paradise? He says, there's nothing that you would not like. And he says, there's everything that you would like there. You will meet again in heaven, relatives, friends, ancestors, grandparents, parents, children who have passed away young. There will be in heaven no more death, nor sorrow, nor tears, nor pain, ever, not even the slightest. No more weakness, nor poverty, or nor trouble, nor aging. No more darkness of night, no more heat or cold. It will be perpetual spring, always delightful. Every sense will be completely satisfied, the eyes with beauty, the ears with music. There will be perfect peace and charity among all. In short, heaven contains far more delights than you could desire or imagine. The things that we can consider or even imagine, the things I've mentioned, these are the lesser blessings of heaven. The greatest good in heaven is God himself. The chief reward is to see him face to face and to love him. This alone will completely satisfy the human heart. We cannot now comprehend this, what it means to possess and to see God. This is such a lofty and an immense and such a lofty and marvelous thing that it is not possible to our limited human eyes to see. God will have to give us a new spiritual faculty. Even as we now have the faculties of seeing and hearing, the faculty of touch, the faculty of taste, God will have to give us a new, more powerful spiritual faculty, which is referred to as the beatific vision, a special faculty to be able to see him. And then only will we see how lovely, how glorious, how just, how perfect, how amiable, and how loving God is. And we will appreciate his goodness. We will possess that goodness, for God will give himself to us entirely. And it will be our greatest joy to love him and to see him loved. My dear faithful, consider that you have been created to adore and enjoy this God in heaven. God has made you for that happiness. And that's why upon this earth we are often left empty when we reach out and try to find happiness and satisfaction in this world. Even the greatest happinesses and joys of this world leave us wanting more. And it's because God has made us for himself alone. Nothing else can satisfy us. That's why sometimes people who crave money, who are greedy, they think that they'll be happy if they only have $1 million in the bank, if they have that security. They gain themselves $1 million, they're not happy. They decide maybe $2 million will make them happy. Maybe $10 million, maybe $100 million, maybe $1 billion, maybe $10 billion. And even those who become billionaires, they find that they are empty. They are not happy. One thing alone will make us happy, and that is to possess God alone. Once we possess God, we will desire nothing else. We will be absolutely and perfectly content. So think of our goal. Think of paradise, and you will find courage to live well. Think especially of heaven when you pray the glorious mysteries of the rosary. I believe that God has given us those mysteries to encourage us in the midst of our trials and crosses and sufferings, to have us look forward to the glory that we see Jesus and Mary attaining and enjoying in those glorious mysteries. We will also share that glory. Resolve for love of Christ to endure patiently the sufferings of this life. Take courage in the hope of paradise. And all these afflictions and sorrows and persecutions and fears which we endure now will one day come to an end. And that day is not very far off. Life is very, very short. Even if it lasts 120 years, compared to eternity, that's the blink of an eye. It's a fraction of a second compared to eternity. And if we will have borne well and patiently the trials and troubles of life for love of God, they will be converted into joy, converted by God into joys and pleasures that we will enjoy forever. Our Lord himself tells us and reminds us this to encourage us. He says, "Your sorrow shall be turned into joy." So let that thought sustain and encourage you. When you are burdened by the troubles and crosses of life, think of those words of our Lord. Your sorrow shall be turned into joy. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.